When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, it'll be the spot for everyone. From book club to game night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
One thing you don't know about me, I don't sleep well. My mind races because of all the years of late night appearances. I'm just always up and I can't decompress. So I found Sunday Scaries and it works for me. It helps me kind of decompress from my day and get a good night's sleep. To prove it to you, I got 25% off for all my fans. Go to sundayscaries.com and use my promo code PRIVATETALK and you get 25% off. They're amazing and I know you'll love them. Hello, hello, hello. It's Private Talk Podcast with Alexis Texas, and we are back season 2 with another episode. And today, Private Talk, we have a special guest with us, Columbus Short. You see that you like that? We bring the whole team Texas to give you an applause. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know you have a lot of projects going on right now, so thank you so much for coming and seeing Private Talk couch with us. So tell Private Talk who you are. I know I'm going to throw this out there. I've been a fan of you for quite some time. This is like way back when. We'll get back into that. We'll get into that a little bit later because it isn't about me, but it's about you. So actor, choreographer, dancer, rapper, you kind of do it all.
Singer. No, I don't rap.
You don't rap.
I mean, I can bust a verse. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, can bust a verse? Is today going to be the day you're going to bust a verse?
I wouldn't say I rap.
Are you like an on-the-spot, bust a verse type of person?
I do. I mean, I'm a writer. I'm a songwriter, so we bust a verse all the time. Gotta have bars.
So can you bust a verse for Team Texas?
For Team Texas, yeah. At some point, you drop a beat,
All right.
If Neo sang, I can bust a verse.
I mean, we got to do something spectacular. Neo did, he graced me with his beautiful voice singing Independent Woman because I am the Independent Woman.
You're right.
Yeah, so it was very fun. I kind of like pushed it out of him, but he definitely did it for me. He was like not wanting to, but
reluctantly.
Just like reeled it out of him, sometimes. Yeah. It happens. All right, so tell us what you have going on right now. I know you have a lot of things.
Columbus Short is my name. And my game is what you said. I'm a producer, writer, director, actor. Currently producing several shows, a couple of movies. I'm in the middle of a production on a movie right now. We're on holiday break. I'm playing Martin Luther King, which is really awesome. It's been kind of like a dream realized. I've been like wanting to play that role for like many years, was close, and fell apart, and finally, like, we're doing it. So,
So you manifested its way into, like,
yeah, we should talk about that. Manifesting is, like,
I'm big into manifestation.
I'm a huge manifestator.
I like that. Me too. Me as well. Yeah. I definitely, like, staged the whole space before we came here. I was telling my cameraman, I was like, just in case you want to know that smell, I just staged because, you start off clean.
I knew what
you know what I mean? So it's like, I want everybody's energy to be pure and, like, sweet. Beautiful and, like, you.
Yeah.
Showcase you as best as we can.
Exactly.
So what is what are you on break from shooting?
It's called Remember Me. I'm playing Martin Luther King. It's like the story of Mahalia Jackson and Martin Luther King's like relationship during the start of the Civil Rights Movement, how he went and like recruited Mahalia to be a big voice, an advocate or ally, I would say, for the movement. It's a beautiful story, being shot beautifully. Lettucey's playing Mahalia. We got a really cool cast.
When do you think that it's gonna project it to come out?
We were talking about that last night with the producers. We got to finish the movie first. So honestly, we got shut down because of COVID, like 2 days, 3 days before Christmas. one of the crew members got COVID, so they shut us down for 14 days. We're back up second week of January. So I think if we wrap by the end of January, we'll probably try to be like a late release, this, like, so we can be at least in contention for possible trophies, you know?
Nice.
Season.
Manifestation.
Right.
It'll happen. It'll happen. We're going to will it into existence. We are. So what's one thing that you've learned during this pandemic?
That I have always been on a kind of a lockdown. I've always been kind of quarantined.
Within your own mind or like within what?
Self, like, so I'm a very private person. Hence why I'm on private talk.
Private talk with Alexis Texas. That's why we have you here, Columbus.
But I live a low key life. I work. And so
nothing really changed for you, you're trying to say?
It actually went, you know, for creatives, I think lockdown has been super great for us because, like yourself, look what you've done. You know, and somebody said to me the other day, like, if you say you're a hustler, if COVID hasn't made you a hustler, then you weren't in it.
I saw that quote this morning, and I was like, that's the damn truth. I didn't see anything at all. It's because it's like, you know, we all have something that's going on. We're all, you know, doing something. But it's like we either switched it up a little bit and kind of like switched a different route or whatever. But it's like, you know, it was definitely trying times, and not everybody has the same creative, you know, minds that, you know, we artistically are doing. But, you know, in any sense of the word, you are artistic in your own talents. And if you couldn't make it out of all of this, you know, it's
I think the world was moving so fast. So much is going on. And the first people to, like, focus on what matters, like, do things that you said you were going to do that you put off, whether that's making a scrapbook, writing a script, you know, doing your album, finishing your album, you know, whatever your passion is that people, because life was moving so fast, they put their passions or the things that they really want to do on the back burner.
I believe in that for sure, because I feel like there's a lot of things with myself that I wanted to do that just never thought I could have the time or whatever.
Right.
And even with the shift of gear, what I was doing and being on the road every weekend and doing
the
all that stuff.
Said stop.
Yeah. And then it was like, and in my mind, I was just talking about it to my friend. I was like, I don't think I would have ever, like, I was in the gears of motions of slowing things down, but if nothing abruptly would have happened, I would have hadn't have shifted the gears of where I'm at now.
Right.
And, you know, who knows if that's good, bad, or indifferent, but I believe it's a good, you know, everything happens for a reason. So we're going to keep on trucking.
Yeah, I like it.
For sure. So what do you think about mainstream media?
Ooh, this is a good question. It's a double-edged sword.
A gift and a curse.
It's definitely a gift and a curse. You know, if I can like directly relate it to me personally. So like, very young, at like 21, I was like, you know, choreographing for Britney Spears, and you know, I saw, you know, creative directing. So I saw like what fame and what the media does to her,
you like know behind I mean? The scenes.
Yeah, like what they're doing, like, you know, headlines that weren't true, and these, you know, things like that. And I saw the toll it takes on them, right? And then it's like once I became my own man, and like my name became a name, I guess you would say, you know, I felt it on me, not for somebody else. And that's when I was like, you know, F the media. I was really angry at like TMZ and, you know, these bloggers and these things that are necessary to the game, right?
But why were you mad per se? Because they were lying about you, because they were putting you in a false narrative,
correct,
all of the above?
Correct. And I'm not one to.
Because you said you're so private.
Right. So my whole career has been, I believe in mystique, right? I still believe in old Hollywood, like, you'll never see me on a reality show or doing that. Like, you're not going to get into my life because I want you to believe the characters that I'm playing when I'm on screen, right?
That's special. Mm-hmm.
Right? So when the first time you really get into my life and it's a false narrative and they running it, I was like, you know, arrogant enough to think, well, it's going to blow over. But it really did have some irreparable damage to my name, to my ability to do what I love to do. So I was angry about that for a long time.
In what way?
You know, so if we're going to be blunt.
I want the truth!
We always want
that's
the truth.
I said,
here
that's why I had to, I got the Be Real shirt. You know
see,
what I mean? I'm going to keep it a buck. I'm going to keep it a buck,
listen.
Alexis.
I like it, Columbus. Private talk, I hope you're listening because he's about to get real with us. Be
keep
real.
It a buck. So, you know, I was in, you know, at the height of my career, I guess you'd say, on Scandal. It was a number one show on ABC, and it was a big deal that, you know, Kerry Washington, African-American, first African-American to be lead a series on network television, and I was number two.
Amazing
you
show.
Know what I mean? Thank you. And it was a big deal, but I was in a very, very toxic marriage, like toxic to the, it's in the book. You guys got to get the book, people. You got to read it too. Maybe you read a couple chapters, but you got to read the book. And when I was decided I had enough of the toxicity, my ex-wife was like, it's almost like that graveyard love. Like, if you're gonna, you're not gonna ride off in the sunset and be happy, and I'm not. Like, you're gonna, and you're, and be famous and be this
without
actor.
Me kind of situation. Right. So I'm gonna tear you down with you know,
right.
With
so
all this
and
shit.
And she knew. She told me, you know, I didn't believe her. She was like, I can destroy you in an instant. I'm like, how? Like, how?
Yeah, and now right. you, and then I in was that like, time what? Too, I'm sure, and you know, no offense, and we were getting to know each other, but I'm sure you had an ego. So I'm like, no one can tear me down.
Period.
No one can do whatever.
No,
I'm on the top
was,
show. This
was,
is what it
yeah,
is.
But, and it was a, I've always been humble. I'm a humble man. But there was a air of, what are you talking about? Like, I'm covered. I'm protected by ABC, by Disney, by Shonda, by, you know, I got my squad. You're not just going to drag me. And she went to the lowest road. I guess the only thing she could say is like that I was abusive to her, which I never was, right? If anything, it was the opposite, which men don't talk about. They don't talk about allowing women to be abusive to
them. But I think it's also because people, society thinks that maybe it shows men are weak, which is not something
right,
that's a weak
right.
thing. It's,
but
it's
I think that,
people are weak.
But I think that it's an easy narrative for the masses to agree with. First of all, being a black man, being in a powerful position, of course he's probably abusive, of course. And the fact that I was quite frankly really just ashamed of the fact that I was like abusing drugs at a high level to maintain like a high, try to maintain my life with her.
Now, do you think that would have come to light if nothing like as crazy went or came to light with y'all situation of you getting help?
No, because I went to rehab after season. They forced me. To go, it was because I was like, drama happened with my wife and on set, and you know I was I left set. This is all this. I got open the book with this, but I left set one day, February 12, 2012. We were shooting season 2, episode 12.
I'm gonna have to rewatch it.
Yeah, and I left set. Like I found out some information, and I was like distraught. I walked across the street to Gower. We shot on Gower and Sunset, so I walked across the street to this liquor store next to Roscoe's. Bought this bottle of Chardonnay and just started walking toward the 401. And I'm like, got my passport, I got my ID, like I'm leaving. I'm like on some Dave Chappelle shit. I'm going to Africa. This is crazy. This is ridiculous.
I'm out.
And it's a get your Africa tickets ready, baby. I think, you know, it went down in the production report, you know, Columbus Short walking down Sunset in $6,000 worth of clothes and in a wine bottle. Yeah, he's going to need to go to rehab. Okay.
Yeah.
So I did that, and nobody knew. Like, the media, I went back to season 3. Nobody ever found out.
But at this point, sorry to interrupt your story, but at this point, were you doing, like, things on set that would make them wait to do that? It was just literally that moment.
Yeah.
You're like, something's wrong if, you know, this isn't your character.
Exactly. So they were like, it got all the way to the top, and they're like, the only way we can let this ride
is if you're going to go and get help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and it was more important for them for me to, like, see somebody to talk about what was really going on. Because they knew, but I was like so ashamed of how dysfunctional my life was, so I hid it, you know, and dealt with it in my own private little ways.
I think, you know, that's natural. I think that, you know, it's only natural to be a person in your stature, like you're getting the success, this limelight and all these things that you saw other people doing, you coming up in the business, and now it's all the lights on you, and it's like, hey, I'm not a bad guy, you're making me the bad guy, and I'm not a bad guy.
Exactly.
So it's like, you almost have to defend yourself, but the more you defend yourself, the more you look guilty.
And then, exactly, so I said, I'm not going to say anything, right? I'm not going to say anything, I'm not going to fight back, and I was kind of ornery against the courts, like, you know, you made these false claims in court. There's no way, nothing is true. There's no pictures. There's no, you know, there's nothing
no
saying
evidence.
That. No evidence of this at all. So I'm like, but don't play with the court is what I figured out. Like not showing up to court dates. I was in Barbados on one of the court dates. So when I got back, now I have failure to appear. Now I have, you know, they think I'm just arrogant. So they're like, you know what? We're going.
Did you just think if you didn't show up, it was going to go
away?
No.
I just, maybe, because I never really dealt with legal stuff.
Yeah, you were. It was the first time you're gonna be in trouble.
Yeah, I'm like, I would never dealt with it, so I'm like, it's not.
Yeah.
And it really, my ornery behavior, really was, you know, the problem. And then now I'm like, got a probation officer. Now I'm like, huh? So then, you know, I was still doing coke at that time. So I'm like, and smoking weed. So I'm like, pissing dirty. So now I'm like failing. I don't know what a probation violation is. Like, yeah. You're going to jail. That's what happens. You go to get a probation violation. And so all of these things just started compiling. And then the thing that really shocked me, not shocked me, but hurt, but I understand now completely, is that the ones that I expected to have my back had to distance themselves. Like, almost like we have, like, everybody has to distance themselves from Columbus because he's not a good look.
Right? Now you say that you understand that now. What do you understand from that?
You know, when you have a certain stature and your name is respected in a certain way, let's say a la Chris Evans, who's a really close friend of mine. He's Captain America. I can't, like, he's...
His image.
Yeah, like, he can't be...
And that's the effed up part about, you know, the industry is that as much as they're your friends, they can only, like, support you so much without tarnishing something in their own thing because of, like, having something happen.
It's just a bad look. So, you know, I had all that, like, anger about that. And then it was like writing this book was kind of the cathartic healing process for me to, like, you know, the man writing for the child, I guess. I was, you know, there was still a lot of, you know, I was always a pro. Like, I can do this-ish in my sleep, but couldn't do life well. Like, didn't have life skills, you know what I'm saying? So I had to grow up. All of it was meant, and I'm grateful for every trial, every tribulation that I went through. I'd go through it again if I had to learn what I know now.
That's awesome. I mean, I feel like, you know, obviously there's a lot of bad parts that happen, but I think that everybody's, you know, story, we all go through shit. We all, you know, we all internalize it differently. We always heal differently, things like that. But as long as you can come full circle and see the good and the bad and the indifferent of all of it and know that you're moving forward to a better place, I feel like then that's, you know, the first, you know, in the process of, like, grieving and, like, healing to
the
better person of yourself.
Absolutely.
We're going to give you a good applause for that, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard work, you know what I mean? And every day, you know, now even, it's like, it's, you know, we all, like, I've been divorced, I've, you know, myself, and it's like, even though it was a decision that I made, it was a difficult decision.
Divorce is, even if you choose it, it is terrible. Like, facts. Divorce and death are, like,
And honestly, what's funny that you say that is because I had a conversation with my ex-husband and he said when, you know, more to the healing side of things was like, it was like what the only thing I can example wise to it is like, it's like you died and I had no access to you, I had nothing, whatever. And I had to mourn you in a way and get over the loss of you because of that. So it was like, you're mourning the death of a relationship really is what it is, you know, and that's just a factual thing. And it, you know, it was a hard realization because, you know, nobody gets married to get divorced. You want that situation to work and you want to, you know, grow as one, but sometimes that's just not in the cards for everybody. And some people grow apart and some people are toxic. And when you're young, you make decisions for yourself and each other that you may not have done in an awoke moment. Correct. Of things, you know what I mean? Like when you said the first relationship was toxic, you know, sometimes us being young, we thrive off of things that happened in our childhood that we're clinging on to those toxicities.
I was just saying that.
We're a product of, you know, and it's unfortunate with my healing, you know, I blamed my parents. I went through a process of blaming myself, blaming my parents, blaming me, whatever. And then just realizing what it was is because I wasn't given the tools to deal with or know how to have a good relationship because I wasn't shown that. Exactly. And not that my parents' relationship was horrible, but what I saw from the choices and staying and things like that is also implemented in decisions that I've made in my current life, you know, and things like that. So it's just awareness of now we have these tools and I may not have gotten them when I'm younger, but I can only make an excuse for so long because an adult I can't keep blaming anybody but myself because I'm allowing myself to be in this situation. You heard?
It's crazy because I was in a place just like that where I'm like, I was comfortable in toxicity because that's all I knew.
It's a comfort blanket.
When I got like peace, I'm like, something's wrong. I'm waiting. Like,
but that's also probably why you went to all their alternatives, drinking, drugs, whatever, is because you thought it was happy. But in those moments, you're like, let me just block it out.
Yeah.
Let me just,
I know it's toxic, but I'm going to rock. I'm going to rock this out.
Because, and for me, I don't know about yourself, you can, you know, indulge, is that it was that I don't want someone to give up on me because I wouldn't want to give up on someone else.
Correct.
So it's like, we're doing this together.
Right.
And you get codependent on each other's you know, flaws and, you know, the insecurities and everything. And then you know someone so well.
I never wanted to be the guy that, like, made it. And, you know, she was with me before I was, quote unquote, Columbus short. So I'm like, I'm going to ride it out. I'm not gonna blow up and leave you.
Because,
you know,
of image wise?
No, just because of loyalty. Like, I'm a loyal man. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll ride. You know what I'm saying?
But as far
like,
as
once
like,
you start, once you're not, once you become dangerous to me, like, I can't. There was that point where it was like, okay, you're dangerous to me and my livelihood. And, she, you know, that proved correct for a season. But thank goodness I'm resilient. And life changed. Came back around.
So how did, with all of that being said or whatever, how did you overcome addiction? You went to rehab. You had all these like, bad things happening.
I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I was never completely honest with you. I wasn't addicted to cocaine. Like, I was, you know, some, I know people that are addicted.
It was just a vice.
It was a thing. Like, I had to stay up. You know, it was like Adderall and Coke. I was like, those are my options. You know, it wasn't like I was partying. Like, let's go. Like, let me, yeah. You know, and
but everybody's out. Addiction, how it's based, right.
So,
is
so
different.
The self-diagnosis of, I thought I was my own pharmacist. Like, okay, I'm going to do Coke. I'm going to get high. Then I'm going to come down because I'm going to drink. And I was just doing this, like, for about a year and a half, like, this real balancing act with things that were not healthy for me. You know what I mean? And once I went to rehab, Sierra Tucson, shout out. We just got down to the bottom of shit. Sorry to cuss, but we got down to the bottom. Yeah, we got down to the bottom of, like, why? Like, what's going on? Yeah. Like, stuff I didn't deal with as a child. And I think, you know, you just hit the nail on the head, is we walk around with all these bags and we accumulate them. And they start to damage our interpersonal relationships. They damage ourselves, our emotional state, our self-esteem, whatever. We can put up fronts. We can put up all these things, insecurities that people don't want to talk about. And until it rears its ugly head, and even then we don't deal with it. So, like, Black people especially, we deal with trauma after traumas, and we're taught to just keep moving. Like, you just keep pushing, don't even talk about it. You bury it under the rug, and you just go. You know what I'm saying?
But I feel like you put that in a color thing. I feel like, I mean,
is that everybody?
I think it's everybody. Like, I don't think, I mean, for myself, you know what I mean? Like, we don't talk about it. If what happened yesterday, we're moving on. Like, nothing happened today. That's kind of like why I did the same pattern.
I thought it was a cultural thing.
I don't think so. I mean, for me, I think it's just a human thing. I think people are too caught up in, like, an image of being the perfect family, the perfect this, the perfect whatever. Nobody's perfect. People right. have flaws. People are going to make mistakes. There's no right. book to why and how we're supposed to live this life. It's what's your path and what's right. your, that's what I would say, is to each his own. Right. Whatever works for you may not work for me, but if it's not harming me in my life, then
right.
it is what it is.
Word. So the real thing was, you know, laying that down was easy. It was not about,
Was that the first time that you actually had, like, a counseling where you actually, like, talked about these things?
Yeah, and
like,
what's crazy, and my mom was a therapist. And I, like, so I had this, like, crazy idea that all therapy was, like, kooks, like, they're crazy. Because my mom is nuts, right? And, period. And so I'm like, no, I'll never talk to nobody. I'll never.
So you had a preconceived notion of what it was.
Yeah,
so it was like,
until
this isn't for me.
Until I, like, did it.
Was forced to do it.
Uh-huh. And then, you know, shout out to another doctor, Charles Sophie, he's the man. Sitting down with him, just chopping it up when things are getting confusing in my head, or things I need to just work through, or job, you know, insecurities about, like, a big job that's coming up, and am I going to be able to perform? Am I going to fail? I'm going to mess this up. Pressure, you know what I mean? How to just deal with it? Like LeBron, I give this example. LeBron didn't win those championships all those years, and it was like he was always close. And you know, it wasn't until he, like, went and sat down with somebody. There's, like, something blocking yourself. You're blocking yourself. Mm-hmm. And once you figure that out, then it's like, whew. And that's what happened. It was like the whole game changed.
That's amazing. That's yeah. really cool. I mean, that's really I have a great admiration to that. You know, people don't like to deal with their problems sometimes. And they'll just yeah. be like, oh, okay, I'm supposed to do this. I did the time. All right, I'm good. And then you go back right into the same thing. But right. it's like, again, being aware and, like, fixing it. And again, it's not something that's a quick fix. Yeah. It's an everyday thing, you know. It's just you continue to keep learning those things.
Exactly.
You posted on IG, you did a suicide, you know, for prevention and things like that. How, you know, and
then
a post you did about, like, a suicide, I think, awareness. And, like, how do you deal with the encouragement, like, and with encouragement of it? Like, how did you deal with these trying times with all the COVID and all these, like, bad times in the world and all this, like, all this craziness, you know, what's been going on the last year. Like, how do you deal to be in this uplifting, keeping this uplifting space where you have grown from to because work I, that
the
you've
power,
done?
The power of the word and the power of thought is everything. What we think is where we are, right? So you can be in that dark place of depression, right? People can get, depression is real, which then depression leads to suicide a lot of times. But it's your thinking. So no matter what's going on, I'm always thinking positively. I'm always thinking that this is not bad. It's not bad. Like, whatever it is, we're going to get through it. Like I said, power of manifestation. So as the world is crazy and the world is turning and it's looking bleak and people don't have jobs and homelessness is at an all-time high and, you know, there's still hope. You know what I mean? There's always tomorrow if you don't give up. Like, I could have laid down in the middle of the street and gave up, like, completely. Like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do what I love again. There's no way I'll find happiness. There's no way I'll find love again. There's no way I'll, you know, have a family. There's no way, I should just quit. And by quit, you can lay down and give up or actually put a bullet in your head or something, right? And I never quit. I just kept putting my foot in front of the other every day. There was always tomorrow. Until, you know, I was crawling and I was walking and I was running and I was sprinting, you know what I'm saying? And so that is how you can get through these times.
That's awesome. I applaud your journey and you sharing that with us here on Private Talk. You know, I know it's not always the easiest things. It's like, you know, talk about things that are personal stuff.
I'm at this point, like I'm an open book. I used to be like super, super private. Now I'm like, look, let's keep it a buck.
Well, you did write your book, Short Stories.
Yes. Yes, I did.
So tell us where we could find that.
That is, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Walmart.com, Target.com. It should be on shelves once they open back up.
I'm gonna have to sign it for me now.
I'm gonna bring you a copy.
I like it. Yeah. I haven't read it yet, but I've read excerpts. But I was a fan from Scandal. I'm a Scandal fan.
I appreciate it.
I was religiously all about the show. I loved it. I was sad to see you go,
but
it definitely was a journey that I guess that you needed to go on to be the person that you are now. And now you're doing bigger things.
Yes, ma'am.
So what is your favorite, or let's say this, what is your hardest role that you've ever played?
Hardest that are most challenging, I would say.
Yes,
was,
most challenging.
I played Little Walter in Cadillac Records. That was a very challenging role.
Can you explain to us why?
Well, first of all, there wasn't a lot of footage on him to like
emulate,
right? So I had to like really build the character from scratch, only with the information I knew. He played harmonica. He was from Louisiana. He was from the Bayou. He spoke French. So then I had to go get a dialect coach to find this Bayou patois, you know, Southern Louisiana. And
this is all the stuff that people out there don't realize, that you put so much in your craft that you're like, you wanting to be this much of a, you know, and that's.
But I was doing an action movie like right before called Armored. And so I was kind of like really ripped and, you know, a little bigger. And I had to be small and framey, like a small framed guy, wiry. And so the last 10 days of production on Armored, because as soon as the day I wrapped Armored, I had to go to New York to start filming Cadillac Records. So I did the Lemonade Beyonce diet, like did not eat an inch of food for 14 days, so which I never did. So that was like taxing on my body, taxing
your
on
mental,
my mind.
Yeah.
And then, you know, honestly, like I started drinking. I didn't even really drink before that, but I wanted to be like him. So I would like, I was drinking a bottle of Jameson a day, like, you know, like no food, no nothing, like. But I was so
engulfed in the character.
I was in it. Yeah, yeah. So that was the most challenging. I think Miss Martin Luther King is challenging only not because of the challenge, but it's because of who he was. And, you know, I want to make sure that
it's portrayed in like the best way possible. I mean, that's a prestigious role to, you know, be able to be a character in, you know,
he big responsibility. I feel it, you know, so I'm like, you know, so I think those two, everything, you know, I haven't met my biggest challenge yet. I'm looking forward to that. I believe it's going to come. I know it's going to come to where I really, really can stretch all the way out.
I like it. Would you consider yourself a sex symbol?
At one time, I think I was.
Why one time? Why not now?
I don't know. I'm like, I don't.
why are you blushing now? Like, Private Talk, you can't run over here.
I think that's part of the thing. I mean, the president of Sony who gave me my career, he was like, you know, he was like, you're a movie star. I'm like, what? Like, but what defines a movie star? I'm an actor, Clint. I'm like a real actor. I'm not just. He's like, no. Every man needs to want to be you, and every woman needs to want to you. And I'm like, okay. So that's the definition. Okay. So I think that's been part of who Columbus Short is, the sex symbol of it all.
So you are a sex symbol.
But I wanted to be. I've always aspired for more than that.
Okay, I can feel that.
Yeah.
But Private Talk thinks you're a sex symbol.
Okay, fair enough.
What does authentic mean to you? Like being authentic?
First, it's being authentic to yourself. You know, a lot of people are delusional in this world. And I think IG has a big freaking delusional people. People are delusional. So if you can't be authentic to yourself, you don't even know where to start about being authentic. I think authentic is saying what you mean, meaning what you say. Make your yeses yes and your noes no. Being the same person no matter what station you are in life, right? You're defined. People can, you know who true people are, their true character, when they have power or when they have nothing. You can find out a lot about people, right? And you should be the same person with power or with nothing. So that's being authentic, being 100 to yourself and being the same person all the time.
See, that's a Southern way for me. I feel like that's why for me, it's like me being from Texas, I feel like, you know, obviously, it was Alexis Texas and this whole, you know, persona, whatever, but I never left who I was. Like, kept it was, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not better than anybody else. You know, right. I put my pants on every single day just like you. As long as you respect me,
I
can sit here and talk to you in a respectful way, whatever, until you start disrespect me, do I feel like I need to talk a certain way?
Right.
But you know what I mean? And that's why for me is like, it's just, you know, the evolution of people and getting to know everybody. Everybody's going through their own trials and tribulations. Right. We don't need to put an added pressure and be like, oh, I don't like what you're wearing, or oh, I don't like this. It's like, it's just extra for no reason.
Much. Yeah, it's too much.
So do you think that social media has given too much access to celebrities?
Yes. And it's actually the celebrity giving the access. I mean, I remember I didn't have a Twitter, I didn't have an IG when I started Scandal, but it was mandated. Like, they mandated, and it was a huge contributor to why the show was successful. You know, we live tweeting and doing all that stuff. But, you know, it starts to become this thing where you, like, feel like you have to post something, or, like, you have to let people in to your life. And I'm like...
And you're one of those private people, so you're like...
So you're like, I'm going to give you what I want to give you.
Yeah.
That's the, you know what I mean? But now, you know, think about it, OnlyFans. I mean, people are just doing too much on the gram now. Like, it's like, really? Like, this is how we do it?
So why is OnlyFans too much for you on the gram?
Well, that's not too much. Like, I don't subscribe to anybody's account.
That sucks. You should subscribe to mine. I have an OnlyFans.
There's free ways to.
So you're not going to subscribe to my OnlyFans is what you're telling Private Talk, Columbus Short. He's telling me he's not subscribing to me.
I could already be subscribed. I could be subscribed.
He said he was not subscribed.
I could be ghost subscribed. I could be ghost subscribed.
So you're lying to us.
I could be a ghost subscriber.
So you're lying or taking back what you said. After this episode, now you'll probably. Yeah. But okay, we'll get back to that.
So no, but like now it's all of this. It's, you know, I respect the people that are on OnlyFans that are making bread. Like, that's the hustle, right? You're giving people your life for free on the gram. And then now you can make money. So my boy.
Capitalize.
Yeah, my boy Pleasure P, like, he's like, boy, I got my OnlyFans. I'm like, he's like, I'm making bread. I'm like, for real?
What is Pleasure P doing on there? Is he giving the Pleasure P, or is he just like doing BTS?
I think he's giving the Pleasure P.
See, that's the difference for me. So, like, obviously, okay,
everyone I think he's giving the Pleasure P.
I mean, I don't know.
Pleasure, I love you, my name. I love you, baby.
I don't know if that's been said before, Pleasure P, but you can use it. Texas in
that's
for
funny.
You. But my thing is like, so, okay, I've talked about this several times in Private Talk, but like in context of conversation, it's like, I had OnlyFans before OnlyFans was cool.
Existed,
you know
right.
what I mean? So, you know, it wasn't made for adult performers, but adult performers made the network popular. So
how long has it been around?
It's been around for a really long time, over 2 years.
Oh, really?
For sure.
But it just started like popping.
Well, for everybody else, COVID. But it's been popping COVID. For me.
So COVID started.
But that's the thing. It's like, that's why everyone's like, oh, like now you're, no, I was doing stuff before. Y'all just were too late to be on certain things. And that's cool.
Yeah.
But you know, but the same thing is why I'm not on Thriller or, you know, TikTok or whatever, and I don't know those platforms because I didn't take the time to learn how to monetize from it, but that doesn't mean that wasn't around now. Copy. Because I haven't done it. So with the other people coming in now because of COVID, and now people's money's, you know, been taken on other platforms. They can't, you know, tour. They can't do this, that, and whatever.
They have to do it.
So they're doing something, and not have to. They've chosen to do it because I'm about accountability. That's so it's true. About chosen to do a platform or whatever. So my thing is pick your lane. Pick your lane in a lot of ways. So fair. If that, the Pleasure fair, P wants to give fair, the Pleasure P, fair, then do fair, the Pleasure P, whatever, fair, you know what I mean? But he does step. Music as well. So that's why I say.
So how do you feel? Do you feel like people are coming into your lane?
1,010%.
That don't need to be in their lane.
Yes, 1,010%. Okay. But what I do respect, and I've had people on here, and it's changed my opinion about it because there's been people from different avenues. When they tell me what they're doing on their platform, it works for their brand, and I get that. That's right. What I'm saying. Like, there's certain people that even just have BTS of them doing or whatever. And for me, I'm all about entrepreneurship. That's how, you know, how I make my living.
Right.
And I'm all about how to make all those things work. But it's like when you come in something and you're just coming in to like to do a smash and grab. That to me is a problem because now you're making it look watered down. And what I've done exactly. in my craft is exactly. isn't what it really is because it to me is like my own. It's my own production. Right. I do everything myself. It's all about, you know, my personal content. I don't shoot porn anymore, but I shoot my own stuff for myself.
Right.
So that's my bread and butter.
And that's see, then you could like you're a pioneer in that game, in that space. To me, it looks like a lot of people are what is it called? What do you call it? Like fad. It's a fad. It's
for
like
sure. And that's why that's the smash and grab for me yeah. is like if you're doing on the Instagram, more than you have your fan base, right. capitalize off it all day.
Right.
But don't sit there and insinuate that you're doing other things when you're not doing it.
So
and then people
let's talk about
want
that.
To do.
So like people that are like, I think it's misleading for said many people that are on the gram, you know, taking pictures. They're making it makes people depressed. So like it's like. People that
because
don't
they're
have,
faking their life.
They're
and
faking
not
their
doing
life.
It.
They're faking their life.
Faking it for the gram. Capping it,
yeah,
for sure.
All full caps. And it's that leads to the depression. The people that are like regular people with like, you know, 500 followers that just follow all these people. They're like, why do they get to live this amazing life? Why is their life, you know, what, like, it's cool. If I go on vacation, I'm on the beach. Does not mean I need to gram. This needs to go for the gram. Like, first of all, I don't want y'all people to know where I'm at. Secondly, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to make anybody
feel bad.
That's why
you do it after Columbus. Yeah. God, you know, you post it the week later when you're
like,
already home.
But like, who are you flexing for? You know
for
what
sure.
I'm saying? Is it like
but I think
really?
It's also because of like, it goes with a branding of some people. Because now, you know, people to be famous or whatever, right. you can be a content creator of YouTube, TikTok. And the younger generation of like social media users are all about what you are not about is like getting in to know what their life is. You don't want that. They will sit there and have a camera 24/7. And that's why they
right.
become so, because people just want to know what the most ridiculous, craziest thing and all those things. For me, that's not me either. Like I got into the business. I'm an adult. I used to be an adult entertainer, all those things. And I'm, you know, branded in that sense. And so even for me, putting my personal life is really odd to me because I'm not Alexis Texas 24/7. You know, I have
so who are you outside of that? See how the
tables
see how the tables turned?
You know, I haven't written a book like you yet, but when I do, they're going to find out who the other part of me really is.
Okay.
But that's also part of the reason why I started this podcast was before I never really did the video stuff because for me, it's weird to like hold the phone and do and right. not be in the moment.
Right.
I'd rather have someone else video it and me just be my natural self
yeah.
than like. Feel like it just seemed phony. It didn't seem natural to me.
Right.
So that's why for me, it's like, this is how I've opened up about my life, my opinions, my whatever, and given my full like non-censorship like reasons and like opinions.
I'm truly impressed with the person
is
I'm meeting
what it
right
is.
Now.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But that's what I'm saying is like, I wanted to show about the people too, is that I'm not just a porn star. I wasn't just a porn star. I have a mind. I have a mind. I have more than just what my body was and or not was. It still is, but is. You know what I mean?
I'm still bad.
Okay. I'm so a bad bitch. I'm private talk. You know what's up. Huh? Join my OnlyFans. But but you know what I mean? It was just the point. It's like, I'm not just a sex worker. I wasn't right. just that, you know, and I haven't done in the business in 3 to 4 years, but that doesn't mean that I shun the business at all. I embrace right. it. I, you know, it's a part of who I am. I had an enjoyable time in my career. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, it's just an evolution of different content creating.
Right.
You know, and what I'm comfortable doing and creating and what you're comfortable doing and creating is different.
Right.
But there's still two lanes for us.
Right.
In the
I stay
same
in my
thing.
Lane. You stay in yours.
I will.
And what,
but
and
if so you
what,
don't subscribe to my OnlyFans after this show, we're going to fight.
It'll be a ghost follower. It's just the egg. What's this game?
What's this game? Well, we're not to my game yet, but we will take a break because I have to go pee really bad. Okay. All right. All right, Private Talk, I hope you're liking this episode because I surely am getting to know Columbus Short a little bit better. So make sure you like, subscribe to this episode, and we'll be right back. One thing you don't know about me, I don't sleep well. My mind races because of all the years of late night appearances. I'm just always up and I can't decompress. So I found Sunday Scaries and it works for me. It helps me kind of decompress from my day and get a good night's sleep. To prove it to you, I got 25% off for all my fans. Go to sundayscaries.com and use my promo code PRIVATETALK and you get 25% off. They're amazing and I know you'll love them. All right. We are back, Private Talk, and we are back for one of my favorite parts, Truth with Texas. I was going to put him through the ringer a little bit more, but he's got to leave us because he's a busy, busy man, and I understand it. I respect it, and I hope you guys, too. So make sure you're liking, subscribing to this episode. So now it's time with Truth with Texas. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Don't be scared. They're all going to be aces. Each suit is a different question. We're going to go through all of them.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. Just pick.
Yes, sir. Ace of?
Spades.
Spades, that's our favorite here. It's the naughty question. All right. Private Talk, we want to get naughty. We want to get real.
When that voice comes around,
that's my phone sex operator voice. I've been practicing since I was young, but a legal age of young.
That voice says.
What's your weirdest sexual experience? It's a really what?
I want the truth!
Columbus, we're friends now. We're all getting comfortable on this couch. We want to know the weirdest.
Weirdest? Sexual
weirdest. What's okay, weird I'll to be, you I'll, may I'll not be weird to all me. Right,
I'll be honest. So it's just a true story. In my wild days.
Wow, boy, let's hear it.
Wild days.
Wild short.
Yeah, it was a couple of strippers that ended up becoming really good friends of mine, actually. So I'm not going to say any names, but
strippers will remain nameless.
But the one that like initiated the whole thing, we went to her place, and she was like, you know, we were about to get it cracking, and she insisted that she puts on Stomp the Yard.
Wow. Oh, okay.
And like,
how weird was that for you?
It was super weird. Like we had to watch the whole thing, like,
did she have a certain part that she was like, fuck me now?
Yes.
So she's done this before, but she just masturbated to herself.
I was like, this is crazy. This is up there.
Did she tell you that she was a fan before? Do girls like start off that with you, be like, hey,
like, they act brand new, like, and
yeah, I threw it all on the table.
I appreciate the truth, but I used to be like the girl that would just like that, like, definitely not mess with that girl. The girl that like said she didn't know me. Like, I didn't even know who you were. I'm like, oh, that's great.
Now you believe the lie.
And then it's a lie. It's a lie. It was a lie.
If you're in a strip club, they're always lying to you. They ain't telling you the truth. They want to get your money. They want to get your dick. They want to get your something out of that club so they can, you know, tell a story.
Right. And so, you know, in my wild days, that was weird. I mean, I've had some crazy weird moments, but you asked for one. So that's...
Okay, well, give us a crazy one.
You get one spade for
that's
the day.
All I get. Like, I go big or go home, and I'm never going home.
I can't. I gotta keep some.
Shorts or like a stringy thong? One or the other.
Booty shorts or stringy thong?
Like a G string. I can't even say it. G string or a thong or booty shorts? Preference?
Depends on the body.
So you fuck with all kinds of body types?
No.
What's your specific one?
Like
apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur.
With the fur. Yeah, I like exotic, thick.
Thick. What is that? Quarantine thick from Gucci Mane?
Yeah, the quarantine thick now is different. Like, you don't want quarantine thick.
I'm quarantine thick.
You're slim thick.
I guess now, maybe because I work out.
Like my wife right now, she's slim thick. You know what I mean?
Slim thick.
Yeah, I like them slim.
So she's like works out, but still eats the good food. So she like.
She's Armenian. You know that they're naturally.
Good genes.
Yeah, good genes.
She knows what it is.
Solid.
I like it.
You know what I'm saying?
Next one. Hearts, it's romantic. Okay. All right. Would you consider yourself a romantic?
No.
What would be your ideal romantic date?
Honestly, like on some like.
Just bend her over and just.
No.
You're not romantic.
Yeah, when I say not romantic, I guess. I'm not corny, you know what I'm saying?
You're not like roses, I'm not like all spelled out, be like, you know, like I'm not do you love like me, that. Yes or no?
I feel like all of that is like games, you know what I mean? Like,
so
like,
what's not your game that's like, a romantic thing?
I get, you know, when I was in high school, I always tell girls, like, they're like, ooh, you got game? I'm like, my game is having no game at all. Like, I have no game.
So you went that route. You're like, I don't have any game. Like, you know, like.
I have no game. Poor me. But, like, I'm all into, like, mental F, you know what I mean? Like,
you're a mental fucker.
One of those. Not like I want to get inside your brain and operate.
No, but it's like you're more stimulated by like mind things.
Yeah, what can we do? Like, what could be a dope, like, what's a dope romantic moment? So like, driving on the coast. Like,
that's the most romantic thing you've done?
No, I've done some romantic shit.
That's why, what is it? I'm asking. We want it.
You know, blind.
You say so many times that can be a lie.
It's not a lie. Like blindfolded.
What was the surprise?
Now I feel like I'm gonna get in trouble if I tell this story because I haven't. If I tell this, it's been. You know, if I tell this story.
Oh, then you haven't done it to your wife, then so she's gonna be like, "What the fuck? You haven't blindfolded me, motherfucker."
Oh no.
Like, you better fucking blindfold her for something real soon.
You know, private jets and blindfolds. It's
private
like,
talk. We're gonna help Columbus's wife get blindfolded to something.
Oh. but I think, let's skip this question. I'm the worst, bro.
Favorite romantic movie then? We'll go there.
Serendipity.
Okay.
That's my girl, Kate's in it. Kate Beckinsale. I love it. And before I met Kate, like, we came really close. Like, I love that movie. John Cusack's great in that movie. Serendipity and the one with Tom Hanks and, what's it called? You got
mail.
You got mail. You know who you look like?
Tell me. You just kind of like an aha moment right now.
You look like.
Tell me who I look like.
Look like Goldie Hawn's daughter, Kate. What's her name? Goldie Hawn's her daughter. What's her name?
She did all those
movies with Matthew McConaughey. What's her name?
Phone a friend.
Kate Hudson? No, Kate.
No, it is Kate Hudson. Isn't it Kate Hudson?
Like Kate Hudson.
You know, it's funny. I get a plethora of people. I don't know if I've ever been told her.
I was like, who does she look like?
I get Cameron Diaz. I get Michelle Pfeiffer. Kate Hudson. Get Baby Spice.
Kate Hudson.
I get
Kate Hudson and Private
Lisa
Talk.
Marie Presley.
Please comment on this. They're going to give you the feedback.
I'm trying to give you everybody.
Nobody's going to unsee it.
Who knows? You know, I'm a great doppelganger for a lot of people, apparently. But, you know, there's only one Alexis Texas. Private talk, you know what it is.
So what's your favorite? Aren't you supposed to answer these questions?
No, these are just you. You get to ask me a question afterwards.
Okay, cool.
I got excited. All right. Let's go.
Oh.
Club. It's a kinky question, but we're all a little kinky here. So, biggest turn on.
Honesty
is your biggest turn on.
For real.
Nice.
Like, be authentic. Like you say, be authentic. Like, I don't care what you do, what your past is, what your story is. Just be honest about it. That's the real. Like, don't hide. Don't hide.
Like, I feel like,
you
know, at this
people
point,
put on masks, and so many people are mad about these damn masks, but they wear masks every day.
That's why they're mad about them, because they already got one on. They don't want to wear two.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, just keep it. Just be raw. Be real. Like, shock me. And you'll never shock me.
I feel like at this point in our lives, like, we're adults. If you can't be honest to me, then move the fuck on.
I tell people,
run along.
I prefer an ugly, ugly truth over than a beautiful lie. Don't lie to me.
I fuck with that. Yeah. Do you own any toys?
Sex toys?
Mm-hmm. No, like, you know,
I don't,
little
I
mean, cars toys. No, we're at private talk and we
want. I want the truth.
Yeah.
What sex toys do you own, Mr. Gray? Can we find handcuffs?
You won't find handcuffs.
Not blindfolds, because your wife doesn't have any blindfolds.
You'll find a U-shaped situation.
Oh, that like G-spot thing?
It's like you'll find that. You'll find some power tools.
Is it couple, like the is it like tools. The soft like silicone look? It's probably purple. Like it's like a G thing. I hate that thing. That thing does nothing for me.
I don't know what why. And you'll find a bullet, a couple of little bullets. Mm,
those are good. Always good.
The bullets are always go to.
Hitachi?
Yeah, go to. Tried and true.
Nice. So do you have a drawer, a shelf, a room? Like how big does this go?
No, it's early days. So it's like, you know.
So we'll have you back on again to see how many toys.
Yeah, but the cool thing about, she's going to hate me for this. Me and my wife, like, we've been, she's just my G. Like, we, you know, it's cool.
But that's what's cool. I feel like once you find that partner is what's cool about, like, the exploring part.
In the world is your oyster.
But then it's exploring part. Like, you get to know what you like, what you don't like, what they like, whatever. And then you're like, oh, hell no. Like, you know what I mean? Like, which thing? And that's what's cool. It's a beautiful thing is why it's like, why with porn I said with myself, it's like, I'm one person helping people orgasm at a time.
Right.
So we're doing it in a natural
way. My wife's met me, and I was a male.
Whore?
Yeah, I was.
I love how you're like, male. This isn't a PG show. It's say it, Columbus. You're a male whore.
I was just out here.
But you were.
And she ate it. She just like, and still, you know.
That means she's a strong woman. That means that defy all of that stuff that y'all are destined to be together. If she overlooked everything like that, like people have a past that shouldn't define who you are. Right. It's about who you are in the present and who you are in that relationship.
Yeah, great. Facts. 100%.
Last one. Diamonds. Spicy. Whew, spicy little mama. What's your favorite position?
Okay, I don't know what's the name of this position, and it's not. It's half.
I'll tell you.
You gotta tell me.
Let's see.
This is so bad.
Why is it bad?
Just because, you know, I'm out here giving the bars, like giving the insight.
It's okay. Everybody has sex. You were born from sex.
It's like not. It's not doggy style, but it's laid on your hip, leg up.
It's like a side doggy.
It's a side doggy.
I want to say like the Meg Thee Stallion, like the crybaby, like you're laying on the bed and you're like fucking doing this.
I'm a sucker for the old side.
So you want to like hold the leg and the ass, and so you're like pulling because you have more leverage. Like how I gave everybody a demonstration of like, yes, this is what we're doing.
What you said? Did you do this with Rita? Did she have
no? Because I had really like really thin guidelines of what I could say to mom, because mom Brenchie didn't want to hear anything that mom said that was too sexual. But I did ask her some questions. If you want to listen to the last 10 minutes of it,
because she'll give you some bars too.
Frenchie left. He was like, I don't want to hear any of this. And I was like, but this is what part of what Private Talk wants to hear is the truth. That's hilarious. We want to hear your truth. We want to know all those things. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming and taking the time. Do you have any questions for me that you want to ask me? It's the last thing. You're like, fuck no, I want to get off this goddamn couch.
Is it true? Because I heard this.
Oh, you heard. What did you hear?
That you were like, it was strict that you wouldn't do sex scenes with a black man.
It wasn't strict that I have never done a scene on camera with a black man.
Wasn't that a great question, Private Talk? I got down to the bottom of something right now.
I mean, you can. Anybody. I always open up to everybody to ask me what you want to do. I'm an open book. I have nothing to hide. I have whatever. If you want to ask the question, it's a question. No, I mean, it wasn't something that was told me that I couldn't do it, but I have not ever done one.
It wasn't like a staunch rule.
No, for me, it was just like a thing at the beginning. It was like the levels of steps that you get, and the way that they made it portrayed to me was really racist within its own porn thing that I didn't like how it depicted. It was like fucking the white man's daughter and doing all these things that was just that's just like, why can't I just fuck a beautiful black man? Why does it have to be something else? So then it became now there's just forums of why I won't do it, that it became so much a thing that a control of why I wouldn't that they didn't look of like anything else. Okay. So it was just very like, you know.
You gotta press that keeping it real button.
I keep it real from day one. That's my thing. Is like why I gave you know the platform of me speaking. Of you know, the thing is like I have nothing to hide. People may not like my answers or what it is, but that's my truth, and you know that's just how it is for me. I think that the porn industry is racist within itself.
Man, I gotta come back.
And I think that it like you know for me it's like I didn't want to feed into that anymore. Like I wouldn't it to be just a sexual thing. And that, you know, and the time that I got out of the industry, I don't shoot anymore with anybody but myself.
and you can always win with you, yourself, and I.
I always win. I always win with you, myself, and me.
I wasn't the I.
I didn't think it was. You were talking to me in the third person.
That was right.
All right, Private Talk. I hope that you loved this episode. I know I loved it. Thank you so much again for coming. If you can plug your social media and where we can get your book so we can support you.
Yeah, book is on Amazon, Target, Walmart.com, official C Short on IG, Columbus Short 1, number 1 on Twitter.
All right, Private Talk, thanks for tuning in. Until next time.
All righty.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.